43.
The others call me mad. As I have said, that may be true.
Mist poured into the dark room, collapsing around Vin like a waterfall as she stood in the open balcony doorway. Elland was a motionless lump sleeping in his bed a short distance away.
Apparently, mistress, Orsure had explained, he went into the Kolos camp alone. You were asleep and none of us knew what he was doing. I don't think he managed to persuade the creatures not to attack. But he did come back with some very useful information.
Orsure sat on his haunches beside her. He had not asked why Vin had come to Ellen's rooms, nor why she stood quietly watching the former king in the night. She couldn't protect him. She tried so hard, but the impossibility of keeping even one person safe suddenly seemed so real, so tangible to her, that she felt sick. Elland had been right to go out. He was his own man, competent, kingly. What he had done would only put him in more danger, however. Fear had been a companion of hers for such a long time that she had grown accustomed to it, and it rarely caused a physical reaction in her. Yet watching him sleep quietly, she found her hands traitorously unsteady.
I saved him from the assassins. I protected him. I'm a powerful allomancer. Why then do I feel so helpless? So alone.
She walked forward, bare feet silent as she stepped up to Ellen's bed. He did not wake. She stood for a long moment, just looking at him peaceful in his slumber. Orsure growled quietly. Vin spun. A figure stood on the balcony, straight-backed and black, a near silhouette even to her tin-enhanced eyes. Mist fell before him, pooling on the floor, spreading out like an ethereal moss.
"Zane," she whispered. "He is not safe, Vin," he said, stepping slowly into the room, pushing a wave of mist before him. She looked back at Elland. "He never will be. I came to tell you that there is a traitor in your midst."
Vin looked up.
"Who?"
she asked.
"The man Demu," Zane said. "He contacted my father a short time before the assassination attempt, offering to open the gates and give up the city."
Vin frowned.
"That makes no sense."
Zane stepped forward.
"Set's work, Vin. He is a snake, even among high lords. I don't know how he bribed away one of your own men, but I do know that Demu tried to provoke my father to attack the city during the voting."
Vin paused. If Straff had attacked at that moment, it would have reinforced the impression that he had sent the assassins in the first place.
"Elland and Penrod were supposed to die," Zane said. "With the assembly in chaos, Set could have taken charge. He could have led his forces, along with your own, against Straff's attacking army. He would have become the savior who protected Luthadel against the tyranny of an invader."
Vin stood quietly. Just because Zane said it didn't mean it was true. Yet her investigations whispered that Demu was the traitor. She'd recognized the assassin at the assembly, and he had been from Set's retinue. So she knew that Zane was telling the truth about at least one thing. Plus, Set had precedent for sending Allomancer assassins. He had sent the ones months ago, when Vin had used the last of her atium. Zane had saved her life during that fight. She clenched her fists, frustration biting at her chest.
"If he's right, then Demu is dead, and an enemy Chondra has been in the palace, spending his days just steps away from Elland. Even if Zane lies, we still have a tyrant inside the city, another without. A force of Kolos salivating over the people. And Elland doesn't need me. Because there's nothing I can do." "I sense your frustration," Zane whispered, stepping up beside Elland's bed, looking down at his sleeping brother. You keep listening to him. You want to protect him, but he won't let you.
Zane looked up, meeting her eyes. She saw an implication in them. There was something she could do. The thing a part of her had wanted to do from the beginning. The thing she'd been trained to do.
Set almost killed the man you love, Zane said. Your Elend does as he wishes. Well, let us do as you wish.
He looked into her eyes.
We have been someone else's knives for too long. Let's show Set why he should fear us.
Her fury, her frustration at the siege, yearned to do as Zane suggested. Yet she wavered, her thoughts in chaos. She had killed well, just a short time before, and it had terrified her.
Yet Elend could take risks, insane risks, traveling into an army of Kolos on his own. It almost felt like a betrayal.
She had worked so hard to protect him, straining herself, exposing herself. Then just a few days later, he wandered alone into a camp full of monsters. She gritted her teeth. Part of her whispered that if Elend wouldn't be reasonable and stay out of danger, she'd just have to go and make sure the threats against him were removed.
Let's go, she whispered. Zane nodded. Realize this, he said. We can't just assassinate him. Another warlord will take his place and take his armies. We have to attack hard. We have to hit that army so soundly that whoever takes over for Set is so frightened that he withdraws.
Vin paused, looking away from him, nails biting into her own palms.
Tell me, he said, stepping closer to her. What would your Kelsier tell you to do?
The answer was simple. Kelsier would never have gotten into this situation. He had been a hard man, a man with little tolerance for any who threatened those he loved. Set and Straff wouldn't have lasted a single night at Luthadel without feeling Kelsier's knife. There was a part of her that had always been awed by his powerful utilitarian brutality.
There are two ways to stay safe, Reen's voice whispered to her. Either be so quiet and harmless that people ignore you, or be so dangerous that they're terrified of you.
She met Zane's eyes and nodded. He smiled, then moved over and jumped out the window.
Osir, she whispered once he was gone. Maetium.
The dog paused, then padded up to her, his shoulders splitting.
Mistress, he said slowly. Do not do this.
She glanced at Elend. She couldn't protect him from everything, but she could do something. She took the Maetium from Orsier. Her hands no longer shook. She felt cold.
Set has threatened all that I love, she whispered. He will soon know that there is something in this world more deadly than his assassins, something more powerful than his army, something more terrifying than the Lord Ruler himself. And I am coming for him.
Mist duty, they called it. Every soldier had to take his turn, standing in the dark with a sputtering torch. Someone had to watch, had to stare into those shifting, deceitful mists, and wonder if anything was out there, watching. Wellen knew there was. He knew it, but he never spoke. Soldiers laughed at such superstitions. They had to go out in the mists. They were used to it. They knew better than to fear it. Supposedly.
Hey, Jarlu said, stepping up to the edge of the wall. Wells, do you see something out there?
Of course he didn't. They stood with several dozen others on the perimeter of Keep Hasting, watching from the outer keep wall, a low fortification, perhaps 15 feet tall, that surrounded the grounds. Their job was to look for anything suspicious in the mists. Suspicious. That was the word they used. It was all suspicious. It was mist. That shifting darkness, that void made of chaos and hatred. Wellen had never trusted it. They were out there, he knew. Something moved in the darkness. Wellen stepped back, staring into the void, his heart beginning to flutter, hands beginning to sweat as he raised his spear.
Yeah, Jarlu said, squinting. I swear I see...
It came as Wellen had always known it would. Like a thousand gnats on a hot day. Like a hail of arrows shot by an entire army. Coins sprayed across the battlements. A wall of shimmering death. Hundreds of trails zipping through the mists. Metal rang against stone, and men cried out in pain. Wellen stepped back, raising his spear as Jarlu yelled the alarm. Jarlu died halfway through the call, a coin snapping through his mouth, throwing out a chip of tooth as it proceeded at the back of his head. Jarlu collapsed and Wellen stumbled away from the corpse, knowing that it was too late to run. The coins stopped. Silence in the air. Men lay dying or groaning at his feet. Then they came. Two dark shadows of death in the night. Ravens in the mist. They flew over Wellen with a rustle of black cloth. And they left him behind, alone amid the corpses of what had once been a squad of 40 men. Vin landed in a crouch, bare feet on the cool stone cobbles of the Hastings courtyard. Zane landed upright, standing, as always, with his towering air of self-confidence. Pewter blazed within her, giving her muscles the taut energy of a thousand excited moments. She easily ignored the pain of her wounded side. Her soul beat of Atium rested in her stomach, but she didn't use it. Not yet. Not unless she was right and Set proved to be Mistborn.
"We'll go from the bottom up," Zane said.
Vin nodded. The central tower of Keep Hastings was so many stories high and they couldn't know which one Set was on. If they started low, he wouldn't be able to escape. Besides, going up would be more difficult. The energy in Vin's limbs cried for release. She'd waited, remained coiled for far too long. She was tired of weakness, tired of being restrained. She had spent months as a knife, held immobile at someone's throat. It was time to cut. The two dashed forward. Torches began to light around them as Set's men, those who camped in the courtyard, awakened to the alarm. Tents unfurled and collapsed, men yelling in surprise, looking for the army that assailed them. They could only wish that they were so lucky. Vin jumped straight up into the air and Zane spun, throwing a bag of coins around him. Hundreds of bits of copper sparkled in the air beneath her. A peasant's fortune. Vin landed with a rustle and they both pushed, their power throwing the coins outward. The torch-sparkled missiles ripped through the camp, dropping surprised, drowsy men. Vin and Zane continued toward the central tower. A squad of soldiers had formed up at the tower's front. They still seemed disoriented, confused, and sleepy, but they were armed. Armed with metal armor and steel weapons. A choice that, had they actually been facing an enemy army, would have been wise. Zane and Vin slid into the midst of the soldiers. Zane tossed a single coin into the air between them. Vin reached out and pushed against it, feeling Zane's weight as he also pushed against it. Braced against each other, they both pushed in opposite directions, throwing their weight against the breastplates of the soldiers to either side. With flared pewter, holding each other steady, their pushes scattered the soldiers as if they had been slapped by enormous hands. Spears and swords twisted in the night, clattering to the cobbles. Breastplates towed bodies away. Vin extinguished her steel as she felt Zane's weight come off the coin. The sparkling bit of metal bounced to the ground between them, and Zane turned, throwing up his hand toward the single soldier who remained standing directly between Zane and the keep doors. A squad of soldiers raced up behind Zane, but they suddenly halted as he pushed against them, then sent the transfer of weight directly into the lone soldier. The unfortunate man crashed backward into the keep doors. Bones crunched. The doors flung open as the soldier burst into the room beyond.
Zane ducked through the open doorway and Vin moved smoothly behind him, her bare feet leaving rough cobbles and falling on smooth marble instead. Soldiers waited inside. These didn't wear armor, and they carried large wooden shields to block coins. They were armed with staves or obsidian swords. Haze killers, men trained specifically to fight allomancers. There were perhaps 50 of them.
Now it begins in earnest, Vin thought, leaping into the air and pushing off the door's hinges.
Zane led by pushing on the same man he'd used to break open the doors, throwing the corpse toward a group of haze killers. As the soldier crashed into them, Vin landed amid a second group. She spun on the floor, whipping out her legs and flaring pewter, tripping a good 4 men. As the others tried to strike, she pushed downward against a coin in her pouch, ripping it free and throwing herself upward. She spun in the air, catching a falling staff discarded by a tripped soldier. Obsidian cracked against the white marble where she had been. Vin came down with her own weapon and struck, attacking faster than anyone should be able to, hitting ears, chins, and throats. Skulls cracked, bones broke. She was barely breathing hard when she found all 10 of her opponents down.
10 men. Didn't Kelsier once tell me he had trouble with half a dozen haze killers?
No time to think. A large group of soldiers charged her. She yelled and jumped toward them, throwing her staff into the face of the first man she met. The others raised their shields, surprised, but Vin whipped out a pair of obsidian daggers as she landed. She rammed them into the thighs of 2 men before her, then spun past them, attacking flesh where she saw it. An attack flickered from the corner of her eye, and she snapped up an arm, blocking the wooden staff as it came for her head. The wood cracked, and she took the man down with a wide sweep of the dagger, nearly beheading him. She jumped backward as the others moved in, braced herself, then yanked on the armored corpse Zane had used before, pulling it toward her. Shields did little good against a missile so large. Vin smashed the corpse into her opponents, sweeping them before her. To the side, she could see the remnants of the haze killers who had attacked Zane. Zane stood among them, a black pillar before the fallen, arms outstretched. He met her eyes, then nodded toward the rear of the chamber. Vin ignored the few remaining haze killers. She pushed against the corpse and sent herself sliding across the floor. Zane jumped up, pushing back, shattering his way through a window and into the mists. Vin quickly did a check of the back rooms. No set. She turned and took down a straggling haze killer as she ducked into the lift shaft. She needed no elevator. She shot straight up on a pushed coin, bursting out onto the third floor. Zane would take the second. Vin landed quietly on the marble floor, hearing footsteps come down a stairwell beside her. She recognized this large, open room. It was the chamber where she and Elland had met Set for dinner. It was now empty, even the table removed, but she recognized the circular perimeter of stained glass windows. Haze killers burst from the kitchen room. Dozens.
There must be another stairwell back there, Vin thought as she darted toward the stairwell beside her.
Dozens more were coming out there, however, and the two groups moved to surround her. 50-1 must have seemed like good odds for the men, and they charged confidently. She glanced at the open kitchen doors and saw no Set beyond. This floor was clear.
Set certainly brought a lot of haze killers, she thought, backing quietly to the center of the room.
Save for the stairwell, kitchens, and pillars, the room was mostly surrounded in arched stained glass windows.
He planned for my attack, or he tried to.
Vin ducked down as the waves of men surrounded her. She turned her head up, eyes closed, and burned her alamin. Then she pulled. Stained glass windows, set in metal frames inside their arches, exploded around the room. She felt the metal frames burst inward, twisting on themselves before her awesome power. She imagined twinkling slivers of multicolored glass in the air. She heard men scream as glass and metal hit them, embedding in their flesh. Only the outer layer of men would die from the blast. Vin opened her eyes and jumped as a dozen dueling canes fell around her. She passed through a hail of attacks. Some hit. It didn't matter. She couldn't feel pain at the moment. She pushed against a broken metal frame, throwing herself over the heads of soldiers, landing outside the large circle of attackers. The outer line of men was down, impaled by glass shards and twisted metal frames. Vin raised a hand and bowed her head.
Duralumin and steel. She pushed. The world lurched.
Vin shot out into the mists through a broken window as she pushed against the line of corpses impaled by metal frames. The bodies were thrown away from her, smashing into the men who were still alive in the center. Dead, dying, and unharmed were swept from the room, pushed out the window opposite Vin. Bodies twisted in the mists, 50 men thrown into the night, leaving the room empty save for trails of blood and discarded bits of glass. Vin downed a vial of metals as the mists rushed around her. Then she pulled herself back toward the keep, using a window on the fourth floor. As she approached, a corpse crashed through the window, falling out into the night. She caught a glimpse of Zane disappearing out another window on the opposite side. This level was clear. Lights burned on the fifth floor. They probably could have come here first, but that wasn't the plan. Zane was right. They didn't just need to kill Set. They needed to terrify his entire army. Vin pushed against the same corpse that Zane had thrown out the window, using its metal armor as an anchor. It shot down at an angle, passing just inside a broken window, and Vin soared upward in an angle away from the building. A quick pull directed her back to the building once she reached the elevation she needed. She landed at a window on the fifth floor. Vin grasped the stone sill, heart thumping, breaths coming in deep gasps. Sweat made her face cold in the winter breeze, despite the heat burning within her. She gulped, eyes wide, and flared her pewter. Mistborn. She shattered the window with a slap. The soldiers that waited beyond jumped backward, spinning. One wore a metal belt buckle. He died first. The other 20 barely knew how to react as the buckle buzzed through their ranks, twisting between Vin's pushes and pulls. They had been trained, instructed, and perhaps even tested against Allomancers. But they had never fought Vin. Men screamed and fell, Vin ripping through their ranks with only the buckle as a weapon. Before the force of her pewter, tin, steel, and iron, the possible use of Atium seemed an incredible waste. Even without it, she was a terrible weapon. One that, until this moment, even she hadn't understood. Mistborn. The last man fell. Vin stood among them, feeling a numbing sense of satisfaction. She let the belt buckle slip from her fingers. It hit carpet. She stood in a room that wasn't unadorned as the rest of the building had been. There was furniture here, and there were some minor decorations. Perhaps Ellen's clearing crews hadn't gotten this far before Set's arrival, or perhaps he'd simply brought some of his own comforts. Behind her was the stairwell. In front of her was a fine wooden wall set with a door, the inner apartments. Vin stepped forward quietly, mist cloak rustling as she pulled four lamps off the brackets behind her. They whipped forward, and she sidestepped, letting them crash into the wall. Fire blossomed across splattered oil, billowing across the wall, the force of the lamps breaking the door on its hinges. She raised a hand, pushing it fully open. Fire dripped around her as she stepped into the room beyond. The richly decorated chamber was quiet and eerily empty, save for two figures. Set sat in a simple wooden chair, bearded, sloppily dressed, and looking very, very tired. Set's young son stepped in between Set and Vin. The boy held a dueling cane.
"So which one is Mistborn?"
The boy swung. Vin caught the weapon, then shoved the boy to the side. He crashed into the wooden wall, then slumped to the ground. Vin eyed him.
"Leave Gnordon alone, woman," Set said. "Do what you came to do."
Vin turned toward the nobleman. She remembered her frustration, her rage, her cool, icy anger. She stepped forward and grabbed Set by the front of his suit.
"Fight me,"
she said, and tossed him backward. He slammed against the back wall, then slumped to the ground.
Vin prepared her ATM, but he did not rise. He simply rolled to the side, coughing. Vin walked over, pulling him up by one arm. He balled a fist, trying to strike her, but he was pathetically weak. She let the blows bounce off her side.
"Fight me," she commanded, tossing him to the side.
He tumbled across the floor, head hitting hard, and came to rest against the burning wall, a trickle of blood running from his brow. He didn't rise. Vin gritted her teeth, striding forward.
"Leave him alone."
The boy, Gnorden, stumbled in front of Set, raising his dueling cane in a wavering hand. Vin paused, cocking her head. The boy's brow was streaked with sweat, and he was unsteady on his feet. She looked into his eyes and saw absolute terror therein. This boy was no Mistborn. Yet he held his ground. Pathetically, hopelessly, he stood before the body of the fallen Set.
"Stand aside, son," Set said in a tired voice. "There is nothing you can do here."
The boy started to shake, then began to weep. Tears, Vin thought, feeling an oddly surreal feeling cloud her mind. She reached up, surprised to find wet streaks on her own cheeks.
"You have no Mistborn," she whispered.
Set had struggled to a half-reclining position, and he looked into her eyes.
"No Allomancers faced us this night," she said. "You used them all on the assassination attempt in the assembly hall?"
"The only Allomancers I had I sent against you months ago," Set said with a sigh. "They were all I ever had. My only hope of killing you. Even if they weren't from my family. My whole line has been corrupted by Skaab blood. Orianne is the only Allomancer to be born to us for centuries."
"You came to Luthadel?"
"Because Straff would have come for me eventually," Set said. "My best chance, lass, was to kill you early on. That's why I sent them all against you. Failing that, I knew I had to try and take this damn city and its ATM so I could buy myself some Allomancers. Didn't work."
"You could have just offered us an alliance,"
Set chuckled, pulling himself up to a sitting position.
"It doesn't work that way in real politics. You take or you get taken. Besides, I've always been a gambling man."
He looked up at her, meeting her eyes.
"Do what you came to," he repeated.
Vin shivered. She couldn't feel her tears. She could barely feel anything.
"Why? Why can't I make sense of anything anymore?"
The room began to shake. Vin spun, looking toward the back wall. The wood there quivered and spasmed like a dying animal. Nails began to pop, ripping backward through the paneling. Then the entire wall burst away from Vin. Burning boards, splinters, nails, and shingles sprayed in the air, flying around a man in black. Zane stood sideways in the room beyond, death strewn at his feet, hands at his sides. Red streamed from the tips of his fingers, running in a steady drip. He looked up through the burning remnants of the wall, smiling. Then he stepped toward Set's room.
"No,"
Vin said, dashing at him. Zane paused, surprised. He stepped to the side, easily dodging Vin, walking toward Set and the boy.
"Zane, leave them,"
Vin said, turning toward him, pushing herself in a skid across the room. She reached for his arm. The black fabric glistened wet with blood that was only his own. Zane dodged. He turned toward her, curious. She reached for him, but he moved out of the way with supernatural ease, outstepping her like a master swordsman facing a young boy.
"Atium," Vin thought. "He probably burned it this entire time. But he didn't need it to fight these men. They didn't have a chance against us anyway." Please, she asked. Leave them.
Zane turned toward Set, who sat expectant. The boy was at his side, trying to pull his father away. Zane looked back at her, head cocked.
Please,
Vin repeated. Zane frowned.
He still controls you, then, he said, sounding disappointed. I thought maybe if you could fight and see just how powerful you were, you'd shake yourself free of Ellen's grip. I guess I was wrong.
Then he turned his back on Set and walked out through the hole he had made. Vin followed quietly, feet crunching splinters of wood as she slowly withdrew, leaving a broken keep, shattered army, and humiliated lord behind.